Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan. Welcome to Tasting Room Radio. You can find all the details for the show at tastingroomradio.com or at roundhouseradio.com. We're going to finish off the show with two sisters, Lisa Natt and Julie Albert, and they've released a book called Lick Your Plate. I'll leave it at that. And then one of the most interesting winemakers, one of the most interesting people in the entire Canadian wine business, somebody you want to keep an eye on, Jason Parks. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 Vineyards. Road 13 is producing an incredible selection of Rhone-style wines in the much-coveted Golden Mile Bench. Come see why at Road 13. It's all about the dirt. Tasting Room Radio, Terry David Mulligan. He is Jason Parks. He's in Peachland, which is a great little town, one of many in the Okanagan Valley. It's not the center of the wine universe. It's Peachland. It's where you can get a freaking coffee at Bliss and hang out at the end of the wharf. It's where everybody takes their photos, Jason. Am I right? It's the one.
Yeah, well put. Yeah. They take their clothes off too. They're on the beach there quite a bit.
Have you got a nude beach there?
I might personally, but I can't give you the details on that.
All right. I don't know whether to start this interview talking about wine, food, music, which I know drives you as well, but I kind of need to know when people look at your wines, they want to know the story behind how this wine got on their table.
Right.
So, and I know you were a musician, and I'm very comfortable with that, and I know you still play and probably still write and record. Was there one pivotal moment where you had an epiphany and said, I'm going to be a winemaker, or did it just evolve?
It was forced. About 16 years ago, I was touring with a band. It was an all-original band. And the van broke down. And, you know, struggling musician thing. We had no dough to fix the van.
I think that's a given.
My parents live in Peachland. They got a parrot sanctuary there called Parrot Island, where they take care of unwanted birds. So I was staying there, and the closest place to get a job was down the street at a winery. And I went in there and gave me a job. And to make the story short, got my money to fix the van, kept coming back when I needed a little bit of money to, you know, help buy T-shirts or CDs or whatever. And one day the owner came down and offered me the winemaking position. I was only there for about a year and gave me a credit card, a raise, keys to the building, said I was going to manage it and make the wine. And he was off to Ontario, and I was left to figure it all out. So
who helped you figure it out? I mean...
I was on my own to figure it out, but yeah, there was no Google. I still don't know. I'm still not good on computers, but the computer thing wasn't there to search. I did learn under a gentleman by the name of Tillman Heinle. It was Heinle Vineyards that took me in.
Sure.
I got a bit of a start there, and when he left, I was just kind of left to my own devices.
And what varietals were you left with? What were the grapes?
Well, they did a lot of Gewürztraminer and Riesling. That's when I put together a blend actually called G2 back in the day. It's about 16 years ago, white blend called G2, but they did Zweigelt, Pinot Meunier. You know, I didn't get to see a Cabernet for quite a while after
that.
I didn't get to use new barrels. It was pretty scaled down, which was good because it and they were organic as well. So I had to learn the very meat and potatoes, the very basics of everything.
Did you have an aha moment when something went right? What went right first?
I got to watch the details. I was left with some things that I had to work on and fix. Just kind of make the best of some of the situations that were handed to me in there.
Okay.
And when you pull that off, it did give me some confidence. But I didn't know. The learning was so... I had beautiful, long 80s hair. And when I went there, and I quickly looked like Bert Ernie right quick.
You know,
it all fell out.
You know,
the dress was through the roof.
I haven't seen that photo. Is it posted?
The hair one?
Yeah.
I got T-shirts. Do you want a T-shirt?
No, I got the socks. I'm good with the socks.
Yeah, I'm sure there's something out there. My glory days were pretty good.
Very cool.
Walker wearing spandex back in the day. It's embarrassing, but...
Was this a patchwork thing? Did you think, I'll do this for a couple of years, make some dough, and then move on?
With wine?
Yeah.
No, I did fall in love with it.
Wow.
And I started playing music when I was 4 or 5, ran away from home at 17, did the bar band thing. You know, I had a son at that point in my life from another relationship, and it was time for me to attempt being responsible. I was just always confused on how to put the two things together because music is really my thing, and there's a lot of people that music's their thing. But to combine it with wine, it was very awkward for a long time because there's an intelligence that goes with wine that I might not have the full amount of intelligence. So it took me a long time to find my personality on how to represent myself publicly with wine. I'm fine in the cellar. If no one knows I existed, that would be the best thing in the world. But that this is where the whole hatch thing has come in and give me the confidence just to not care, to do it how I feel, how I want to do it, not be, you know, scared to make a mistake or not look completely professional, and just dive in and be myself with it. So it's been a cool transition the last couple of years doing this crazy hatch thing.
This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. He is Jason Parks. And it was the hatch that got my attention. It was the hatch label. It was the hatch fruit in the bottle. It was, you could tell that it was somebody doing something very different.
Yeah. This,
in other words, the label told me, pay attention.
Cool.
And that's cool. That's a great thing.
Yeah.
So how many different projects do you have under the umbrella of Jason Parks Customs? What labels?
Well, Terrabella Wineries is the main focus that I'm doing. So that's making wine for Perseus and the Hatch, which the Black Swift falls underneath that. I've helped, which I work very closely with, and Terrabella is very supportive of, and they're also supportive with them, is Indigenous World Winery, which is the ex-chief Robert Louis Winery, Indigenous World.
Right.
So it's good because they work together on things, and it's a good little family. And there's a new winery coming up that's quite exciting down Lakeshore, past Cedar Creek, called Burnt Timber. But I was making wine for a few more wines, but I've really scaled it back just to focus more, you know, and not do too much. It's just too much. I got three little girls and don't want to overwork myself. But I've also got a great team of guys underneath me that work with me, that help me with the wine. I'm very lucky. I got a good group of guys that I work with.
Nice.
And I learned from them. That's the thing. I think you got to be like that. There's always something to learn from everybody. And I don't want to downplay the beauty of wine, but it is rotten grape juice, isn't it? You know, it's always teaching you. I think the moment you think that you've got the wine thing figured out.
I was going to say, well, it's not rock and roll. But in fact, is there a parallel? This is a real stretch here. Is there a parallel between the creating of a song, the blending of words and music, and the blending of vines? Or am I really just
sucking wind here? Just say that was a romantic notion. But I'll make it quick because I don't want to bore people with my stories. But I was making a wine a few years back at the winery. It came in, the grapes were terrible. It was moldy Pinot Noir. I shouldn't be telling the truth, but I will. Didn't have much of a chance to do very well. I was determined to make a good wine out of it. I stayed at the winery for 3 or 4 days, just feeding it as I go. It's a very old school system that we have at the winery. There's not much technology. It's very old world. So I had to stay with it. So when it was producing H2S or there was an issue, I could feed it right away and take care of this puppy.
Sure.
And it did turn around. But while I was there, I wrote a song called Pizza and Pop. And it's about the delivery guy bringing me pizza and pop because I was living there. But the words of this song, I was in good with my wife for the longest time because it was such a romantic song. But it's about building this wine.
Nice.
Yeah, it's cool. And it's kind of cheesy, and I laugh at myself. It's kind of cheesy. But there is a parallel. There is something connected there.
Did you record the song?
Yeah, I did. It's just we're actually getting our an EP put out before Christmas on vinyl, and it's on that album.
This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. He is Jason Parks. I just did an interview about the BC Icon Reds competition that happened in Vancouver, 21 different wineries. And one of the wines on that list was Perseus Invictus. Did you have anything to do with that?
Yeah, big time. How did it do?
It was in the competition for one thing.
Okay, that's good.
And they only awarded top five. It didn't make top five, and nobody knows how close
it did.
Anybody got from one to five, but you're on that list, and there's some people who didn't get on that list.
That's wonderful. Every wine's got something for everybody else. Those competitions are great because they keep me employed, and they get me the odd raise, and someone will buy me chicken wings for winning an award, but I take them sort of with a grain of salt. I don't know if that's the right thing to say. But.
This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. He is Jason Parks. Hey, Jason, I saw a headline go by, something about top 10 wineries in Canada.
Yeah.
You came in 9 in Wineline.
I think it was 9, though, for the Hatch, which is so cool.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I have to give a shout-out to the guys with Terrabella, the owners there, because the original thing was to do, you know, a $5 million Quail's Gate-like thing, and we looked at it, and this is with Jesse Harnan and myself and Brody Isaac and Andrew Melville, the team of guys that were looking at this project. And we said, let's change those sheds into a place and just nail boots on the wall.
Yeah.
Horseshoes and drink wine out of mason jars. So I went to the owners and said, we can do this for $500,000. And we killed it. And for them to let us do this, it's so cool. Because I think it adds to, it's not just cool for us, but I think it's kind of cool for the industry, hopefully, to have a little bit of quirkiness and something different there and a little bit of energy. It might not be for everybody, but I think it's good to have something a little different. That's why I'm having fun right now, because I guess doing this hash project and just getting out there a little bit, I don't really care about making a mistake anymore. I just want to have some fun, you know, and enjoy the next 20 years that hopefully I'm in the industry.
Did you bring some of the punk rock principles to winemaking? Did you bring that sort of attitude?
I think the attitude, the actual winemaking part is, I am the passionate word, everyone uses making it from the heart, all those romantic things, but it really is all I got. I'm not the sharpest knife. There is a lot of love, a lot of care that goes into the winemaking.
Wait a minute, did you just put yourself down? You say
No. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
Did I? But as far as how people look at it, you know, some of it does bother me. Some of the way that some of the bigger people, you know, in any industry around the world with wine, they can get a little pretentious and stuff. And I think that's wrong. I think every winemaker and everyone in the industry should feel supported and strong and work together on things. And sometimes I think the wine thing can go to people's heads a little bit, which I don't think is called for.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 Vineyards. Road 13's wine shop is open year-round with some of the top-ranked wines in Canada and one of the best views in the Okanagan. Visit us and see for yourself. Road 13, it's all about the dirt.
He's Jason Parks, and I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. He's in Pete's Land, and there's nothing we can do about that. I have a couple of bottles in front of me that your team were kind enough to send me.
Cool.
I see the Hatch logo on the top, but the larger graphic on the Chardonnay is Black Swift Vineyards, Oak Street Vineyard, 2014 Chardonnay, Okanagan Valley. And now, I love the Chard. Where did you get it? Were you growing it? Did you have someone grow it for you?
It was grown on the Golden Mile. It's a range of clones. So what Black Swift's about, it's about these single, you know, vineyards and varietals and stuff. So we make a Chardonnay in the Golden Mile, we'll make one in East Kelowna, we'll make one in West Bank, three different ones, and we'll try to get the same clones and treat them the same way and taste the different terroir and different subclimates.
Will you deal with them separately and then blend them at some point?
Oh, they always stay separate.
Yeah.
You can always taste the vineyard separately. It's all mapped out in the winery, so you can taste a Chardonnay, the same clone from the Golden Mile, compare it to East Kelowna, to Kelowna. So we've kind of, that's kind of the model for Black Swift.
And then at that point you blend?
No, we keep them separate.
Oh, you do? Oh, my God.
We keep them separate, and let's hope that it is a good business decision, but the goal is for people to taste the different areas of our province.
So this is the Oak Street Vineyard?
Yeah.
Okay.
Golden Mile area.
Okay.
Didn't quite get the credibility. Yeah, there's three Chardonnay vineyards.
I love your Chard, okay?
Thanks, man.
I love your
Chard.
You. What's the price point on it, do you know?
It's $44.99.
He's Jason Parks. And I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. Jason Parks Customs. Now, this is a completely different label, right? I'm looking at this Syrah. Tell me about the Syrah.
It's for sale through the Hatch. So the Terrabella wineries that own the Hatch have allowed me to have my own little brand. So
right.
I'm very happy they're letting me do that. It's just 55 cases. So this Syrah was being made at the winery for another client. I was moving some barrels. The barrel rack broke.
Yep.
Smashed on the ground. I got off the forklift in a passive-aggressive temper, stood the barrel up. It was squirting everywhere. It was damaged. I went home, figured I was going to lose it. Came back in the morning. It sealed up. I was still mad at it. I told the guys, you know, get it out of the barrel, put it into the tank, put it in the corner for a timeout type thing, and just leave it alone. We were tasting through the cellar one day with some sommeliers, and they passed by the tank, and it said, the broken barrel. They said, can we try that? And I was quite nervous because I kind of just forgot about it because I was mad at it, mad at myself, whatever. And tried it, and I literally watched the hairs on his arms stand up. He was very impressed with it. So we figured to put it into the bottle.
So it's Broken Barrel Syrah.
Yeah.
Crown and Thieves?
Crown and Thieves is the brand, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And are we going to be able to find this, or is this just a...
It's going to be a restaurant play right now and available at the winery, but there is only 55 cases.
Is there a wine club there?
Yeah, there is, yeah.
Do you get socks with your membership?
Sure. Yeah, I think so. You got socks, right?
Brilliant orange socks.
Good.
I wore them to bed last night.
I could picture that. That's
Thank
great.
You. You don't want to see that.
No, I don't.
I have the Pinot in front of me, 115. That's the clone, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's another neat story. It's one vineyard down in the Black Sage Bench, Ron Fournier's vineyard. And he was a great guy that when I was down there, I was working at a custom facility for a while. I was moving from driving from Peachland all the way to Oliver to work at this warehouse. And he would always come there and bring me A&W, you know, sandwiches every morning. He was a great guy. But he passed away last year. Hopefully I'll keep working with that vineyard. But we did three clones out of the same vineyard, picked at the same time, same barrel program, same yeast program. The clone series, you get to taste 115, 777, and 667.
Right.
So you get to taste the different clones, all made the same way, same yeast, same temperatures, same barrel program, same pick date.
115, it is Bird's Eye View?
That's right.
Okay. Why the bottle, which is almost like a port bottle?
We're just being funky, just trying to do things differently.
Well, bless your heart, man, because I love that.
Oh, thanks, man.
It doesn't fit any rack.
Nope.
It's going to be the odd guy out, but at least it's very handsome.
Awesome.
So how big is the portfolio then? I have three bottles here. Should I be looking at 13 bottles or 33 bottles?
Yeah, it potentially is a nightmare just because of all the creativity there with art and brands and different types of wines. Like, we're putting out a Mueller, we've put out a Gruner. A lot of different things. Like, the hatch is originally, the thing is to be an incubator for art and different types of wines and brands. So there's quite a few out of the hatch. We've got to probably tone it down a little bit. But I think there's about 30 different...
Who's going to tell you to tone it down except you? You're the guy.
Yeah, but we got to respect the accountant's headaches and stuff that we're causing, the problems we're causing. So we're only a couple years in. So we got to just kind of slow it down a little bit and try to get a little better at what we're doing before we keep going on another rampage.
Is there a rosé?
Yeah, there's several.
There's
one called Flippin' the Bird, which is part of the money from that goes to the Parrot Island Sanctuary for my parents.
Okay.
We have a rosé for Perseus that did very well. And, And we're also doing a rosé sparkling for Miss Pam Anderson, which has been a lot of fun.
How did you hook up?
Oh, she saw my picture.
I'm sorry?
She saw my picture.
What does that mean?
I'm really good looking. No, sir.
I stepped into that.
She tried a bottle of it's called the Octobubble. Mm. She tried it, and she thought it's got a pretty funky label on it. She liked the color. She liked the wine. And then when she came to the hatch and met us, she wanted to support it. She liked how down to earth we were and our attitude, and we got along really well. Actually, when I sat with her for a few hours talking, and I was quite nervous about it. She made me feel very comfortable, and she was so cool. Just really nice person, really good.
She's an Islander.
Yeah.
Pamela Anderson. Do you have any other celebrities coming by to make wine with you?
There's one in the works, but it's not 100% official. Yep.
Could you tease us with some sort of
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
Oh, I see.
Maybe. Okay. Something like that.
All right. Okay. Yeah. He's Jason Parks. And I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. I'm thrilled that you're in the business. I love the fact that you don't want to play the game the way the game is seen to be played. And anybody who does that has to have the jam to know what they're doing. And if you're going to play that game, if you're going to fly that flag, you better know what you're doing, and the wines better be above everybody else's expectations, and they are. And that's the cool thing.
You just made me slightly nervous, but that's awesome that you say that. Yeah.
So now what's happened to the music career?
It's another quick, funny story. I stopped playing. A friend of mine moved back to town, and we just started trying to write. I hate my voice. I've been writing songs for years. I just don't like my voice. And one night we were writing, and I just for fun started singing with a bit of an old Cure-type English accent.
Sure.
And it clicked. So we wrote a bunch of songs for fun, and we've just been putting them out. And we're getting a little bit of help by one of the guys from Watchdog. He works with Headley. And we've got Dina, who you know, who's helping us with some other people in the industry. And we're just having fun with it, we're just seeing where it goes.
Do you know where the other musicians are in the business up in the Okanagan?
with other musicians like...
Ezra Sipes at Summerhill?
Yeah, I know he plays. I've never really jammed with him. There's also a winery there up in East Kelowna called The Frequency that specializes in music, and I'm doing a Chardonnay with them called Rhythm, and I literally went to the vineyard and pounded the drums with Tony from The Frequency. And now the drum set's coming to the cellar, and we're going to play for it in the barrels. And when it's done, it goes into the bottles, and then we have to play to the wine in the bottles.
Okay. Are you going to have any bands play, any artists play at your vineyard?
I hope, hopefully in the future, that can happen. Yeah, those are all the big dreams. I went to the winery about this time last year. I went there to check on things, and the guys pulled out 300 barrels out of the cellar, and they'd made a maze out of them. And they said, here, it was like a gift, I guess, for me. And I walked from one end, I went through the maze, and at the very end was a drum set sitting in there to play drums to all the barrels.
Okay.
Pretty cool. There's more attention towards this project than anything I've ever done. And it's fun because I don't care. We're just having fun and seeing where it goes. And the pressure of succeeding isn't really a big thing.
But you are succeeding, right? I mean,
I'm having fun.
Yeah. No, but you're succeeding because you're doing it on your own terms. That's what I love.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Which has more BS in it, the rock and roll business or the winemaking business?
The wine.
That's astonishing.
I'd have to say the wine.
That's astonishing.
Don't tell anyone I said that.
Okay. If there's an entry level where the audience can approach the hatch and their wines and the wines that you're creating, where do we start? What's a good starting point?
To get a hold of the wines?
No, just to, if you're going to taste something.
Oh, any of the Screaming Frenzy. I think the Screaming Frenzy line is really good.
We haven't even talked about Screaming Frenzy. What is it?
There's lots to talk about. If I tell you everything, you won't talk to me again.
No, I'm around. I'm not going anywhere.
It's the mid value stuff at the hatch. So the Screaming Frenzy line. There's a Chard for that. There's a Sauvignon Blanc. There's a Meritage. It's a really fun, and those labels are fun. I have to show you those in person too.
Okay, cool.
You'll get a good laugh out of it.
Okay, man. All right, we're going to hook this up with music. We're going to make it all work. Jason, thank you for taking the time and behaving yourself. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Can I say one last thing?
Sure, man.
When I was a kid, it was a big thing. I would sit there and daydream about being interviewed on Good Rockin' Tonight by Terry David Mulligan, and I'm getting it right now with wine. It's a close second, man. So thanks for having me.
Thank you. If I'd had my game together, I would have discovered you way early on and probably done the very first national interview with Nut Boy. They'd gone into Much Music.
Oh, man. That would have been good.
It's nice to finally meet you, and I hope to be there in person and run my fingers through your hair.
There's not much left, but you can have it.
Thank you.
No problem.
What's your website?
I don't have a website.
Okay. Are you blogging?
No. Okay. I'm on Facebook.
Okay. What's the Facebook handle?
There's a Proper Man Band on Facebook, and there's just me, Jason Parks with an ES.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, man. I wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Jason Parks. Look him up. Listen, Google. Just get to the Google machine and look up Jason Parks with an ES, okay? And then just follow that thing. And then hit news. Because there's some interesting stories on news that we didn't talk about here.
Oh, I better check.
This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Bulligan. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by newdistrict.ca. They give you great access and choice with carefully curated wines featuring hard-to-find and worldwide selections with convenient and smooth delivery to your home and office. Find them at newdistrict.ca. Welcome back to Tasting Room Radio. I guess the question is, do we really need another cookbook? But this one stands out. First of all, the size of it. It looks like a phone book. Very colorful. It's called Lick Your Plate, a lip-smacking book for every home cook. And it's by Julie Albert and Lisa Gannat, who are sisters. They live 5 blocks from each other in Toronto. They're best of friends. It shows in the book. You can see the love on the cover, for Pete's sake. And this is their third book. The first was Bite Me. The second was Bite Me Too, T-O-O. And now, Lick Your Plate. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Julie and Lisa as much as I did. Lisa Gannat, are you here?
I'm here.
Excellent. Julie Albert?
I am here.
I have you both on the same line. And are you on this day in your respective homes?
I am. Lisa? And we are, but we wish we were a little bit closer.
You live 5 blocks from each other?
Yes. You.
Was that planned or just that's the way it worked out?
If it was planned, we would have been next door.
Yeah.
Yes. We would have been Brady Bunching it, actually.
So this is not some sort of marketing ploy that, oh, let's put these two cute sisters together. You are, in fact, best friends.
It's genuine, at least on my part. I know I can annoy her sometimes, but she is the true. She is my other half.
And there are no secrets?
None.
Zero.
with
confidence.
Here's the, not
between each other, but there might be some secrets outside of our little twosome.
Is this reflective? Because, you know, kids are a reflection of their family, of their parents. Mm-hmm. Your parents, did they have this same relationship?
They're married 50 years, madly in love. And we grew up with the motto, family first. That's all that was drilled into our heads, family first and good food. That was the other one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Eat together.
Yeah.
And so part of your growing up was the kitchen and what was going on in the kitchen. It was obviously a social place.
Yeah, our mom, she basically lived in the kitchen. I didn't see her much out of the kitchen, and Lisa spent a lot of time in the kitchen with her while I was playing on my Commodore 64. So I was not the least bit interested in cooking. I was a professional eater. Lisa, on the other hand, was curious.
Lisa, as it turns out now, in this working relationship, just for people who might not know this, you develop the food and the recipes, etc. And Julie, you create the look of the books, you do the writing. But Julie, I think maybe your key role in all of this is you represent us.
I'm the every person.
Yep.
I'm the one who goes into the kitchen and scratches her head and says, I have no idea what to do. And that was the genesis, actually, of our first book, was I have three kids, Lisa has three kids, and my kids were going to just get noodles and butter for the rest of their lives if I didn't put a trick or two. And Lisa started to teach me how to cook, and I'm like, hey, I can actually do this if I follow her recipes. And she, I don't exaggerate when I say she has a bionic sense of taste. Oh. And no,
she's,
it's true.
She's being too
Come
kind.
On. Don't blush. But that... You know, I really needed that step-by-step, a little bit of hand-holding, but if I can do the recipes, anyone can. And so that was one of our mandates when we put the books together, where if I can't do it, then it's not going in.
The book is called Lick Your Plate. It's the third by Julie Albert, who does the writing and the look of the book, and her sister and best friend, Lisa Gannat, who develops food and the recipes. Lisa, hold on a second. I got to ask you this. Where is Alice in here? Where is Alice Lieberman in your cooking? She's your great-grandmother.
She is.
She's everywhere.
That is so nice to ask, because you know what? My fondest memories of being a kid is smelling her food and knowing exactly what it tasted like. And so there's so much of her, like, you know... Anywhere
All Lisa
from,
has to say is coconut.
Anything with coconut.
The water
work. Yeah, anything with coconut, anything with, you know, she made the most amazing yams, sweet potatoes, you know, cream spinach. Like, there's always some reflection of her.
Yeah, comfort and home and yummy.
Yeah, and she also was a huge part in teaching us, like, you know, sit down together and enjoy your food and company and... That's what creates memories.
But, and that's your grounding.
Yeah. Yes.
You Bite Me was a success. Bite Me Too, T-O-O, was a success and led to this new book, Lick Your Plate. Give us that overview of Lick Your Plate. What is it comprised of? I think there's 160 recipes, but what is the focus at its very core?
My biggest thing really is it's accessible to people. So, you know, when you look at the recipes, you don't have to go to a dozen different stores. You can go to one supermarket, and that's really what my mandate always was with recipe development, is keep it really so that keep it interesting, but keep it easy for people to shop.
I also think, TDM, if I can call you that,
that you're getting really close in this time.
We're big into setting people up for success. So we have enough, you know, there are enough outside sources saying, you're not good enough, whispering, you're not good enough, you can't do it like Martha and whatever else. So, you know, it's about making giving people some confidence, letting them know that they can do it as well. We're also looking to make life easier. So take the thinking out of meal planning. We've put some pairings in the book, help you save time. So we have some tips, some tricks. Over 40 of the recipes take 30 minutes. Ways to turn leftovers into lunch. So it's like, it's real living, it's real answers, it's real food.
I'm crazy about leftovers, by the way. By the way, who was your favorite VJ? Be honest now, who was your favorite VJ? J.D. Roberts. Oh, he was hunky.
You know, I was born in 1970. Now he's John.
Yeah, that's right. He's John. I want to talk about the overall thought here, and that in Alice's time, there was time. You know, there was that. Mm-hmm. And what you're doing is reflecting our kitchens today. Everybody just piles in. It everything has to be, you know, we don't have the time to enjoy. If your book in any way can do anything for all of us, it's mm-hmm. to organize ourselves in the kitchen so we have time to eat. And it's still a family event.
Yep.
Exactly.
People can cook and everything else, but if you don't bring it to the table and enjoy it together, to me, a lot of the experience is lost. We grew up with having family meals. We were the kids on the block who weren't eating at 5 in the afternoon. We were waiting until our dad got home from work at 7:30. And, you know, beating a 7-year-old at 7:30 was kind of unheard of. But it was very much our parents making that family time important. And, you know, we weren't talking State of the Union. We were just yapping about our days. And through that, the relationships were born.
Okay, I'm going to recipes now, you guys, because I realized that my mouth was watering and I had to swallow. Julie Albert and Lisa Gnat are the sisters behind Lick Your Plate. Actually, you bite me too, and Lick Your Plate, and whatever happens past this interview. Now, here's the interesting thing. Somebody is crazy about Parmigiana. So there's Parmesan everything in here. There's chicken, there's fish, there's a bread.
Lisa, he's the first person to call you out on that.
I know.
You are truly a god.
Okay, well, let me say that a lot of my inspiration comes from when Julie says to me, ooh, I had this and it was so good. So, yes, she's a Parmesan lover.
Yeah.
Lisa, please. She's the one who goes to... like a market and buys a wheel. So let's not pretend.
Oh, that is true. I do.
A wheel for the weekend. Let me quote somebody from the book, by the way. Julie and Lisa from Lick Your Plate. Page 199, ladies. Have some more sloppy joes. I made them extra sloppy for yous. I know how yous kids like them sloppy, you know? The lunch lady from Billy Madison. Sloppy joes with Memphis slaw. See, it's the Memphis slaw that got me.
It's taking the sloppy joe that's a kid dish and making it into a family dish, so it makes it good for everybody.
Yeah, I knew this would take more than one segment. We're talking to Julie Albert, who created the book Lick Your Plate, and her sister, Lisa Gnat, who developed the food and the recipes, and they are a great working pair. We'll be back right after this. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Okanagan Crush Pad. Let them help you with your holiday shopping. They have wine vent calendars, Gin Caesar gift baskets, or they'd be happy to build you a customized gift bag. Get in touch at OkanaganCrushPad.com. Welcome back. Julie Albert and Lisa Gnat are sisters, best friends. They live 5 blocks from each other in Toronto, and they have released their third book called Lick Your Plate, and there's great recipes in here. Tough to talk about recipes when you're on the air, on radio, because you can't show them, but we can at least tease you. This is Tasting Room Radio, and it's a wine show that realized early on that you can't talk about wine without talking about food. So here we're heavy on the food part. The only place that I see I see pairings, but Sable Blanc in the chunky tomatoes with the tuna and the beans and stuff. Are you winos? What do you?
Oh, I see, I need something immensely drinkable.
Yes.
So I'm good with a Pinot Noir.
Okay.
Lisa, on the other hand, Lee, would you like to speak to your drinking habits?
Okay, so if I'm going to pick a wine, I'm going to pick a red wine that's full-bodied because I do love lots of flavors happening. So that would be my wine of choice. But then if you're going to go into cocktails, I'm good for anything.
Oh, sure. Yes, I know you could be, I see cocktail leanings there. do you get to try BC wines back in Ontario?
We do, actually. They do bring some in, but not a huge.
Not a lot.
No.
What's your favorite TDM? If we were going to go today and pick up a BC wine, what would you say?
You couldn't find the ones that I'm thinking about. A Niche for one, Niche. Roche for another. But these are what you call garagistes. So these are small wineries under 2,000 cases, and they are the future of BC wine. But right now, I would say Quail's Gate, Pinot Noir, Haywire, anything that Haywire is making at Okanagan Crush Pad. I would say Road 13 in the South Okanagan. I would say find a Similk, anything that says Similkameen Valley on it.
Okay.
Things
like
that.
You know, we're taking notes on the other end here.
And because I'm on Vancouver Island, Unsworth Rosé. Unsworth Rosé.
Okay.
That's my new thing. Anyway.
This is so exciting.
And Rosés are very popular right now.
We are huge rosé fans in this house, and we drink rosé year-round. We drink it with turkey at Thanksgiving and Christmas and all those things.
Have you heard of rosé?
Rosé
gummy bears. People are making gummy bears out of
rosé. Sorry. That's obscene. Now,
I feel like that, need to take it down to the worst possible level.
This is Tasty Room Radio. I'm talking to the sisters Julie Albert and Lisa Gannat, who have released their third cookbook, but it's not like a cookbook. It's fantastic. It's called Lick Your Plate. By the way, this is Salmon Country, and so I'm looking for salmon recipes. I love your salmon recipes. Oysters and clams and halibut and mussels, and it's a beautiful thing here. And so those recipes stand out for me. Here's two words that you never see together, easy and paella.
When I was in Spain a couple years ago, I always take a cooking class wherever I go because I like to learn firsthand.
Right.
And she taught us really different tricks and how to really shortcut the paella making. But the trick of a paella is have a really good paella pan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. And if you don't, if you don't have one, then what?
Well, you can use a skillet. I'm just not promising it's going to come out as
perfect.
That's true.
There's going to be a little slot. there'll be some cleanup to do.
You know, you can buy a very, very cheap paella pan because the thing about those pans is you don't need the heavy pan. You need just a light pan. You can buy one for $10.
Okay.
So.
And you can use them for potted plants. If you make no more paella, you can make a little garden thing with it.
You're going to keep making the paella. Once you make it once, you're going to just keep going with it.
Well, by the way, when you were in Spain, did you try their wines?
Oh, of course.
That's like the most rhetorical question.
Yeah, like, so, did you drink
to
water
Lisa?
Today?
I'm going to add some music to this to this conversation when I'm done and I've edited it and put it together. And one of the ones I'm going to play is The Joker, the Steve Miller Band. I really love your peaches. I want to shake your tree. And that's from the coconut-crusted red snapper with lime peach salsa.
Did I write that?
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. And there's your large skillet.
Yes.
I mean, you got to have a large skillet.
Yeah, I use a lot of skillet. I use a lot of skillet cooking.
Wow.
We don't fry. We skillet.
Okay. Here's the thing. Talking about recipes just makes me hungry when I hear them. And so I'm going to leave the recipes behind and just talk about you two for just a second, and then I'll let you go. You are so on to something here. Where do you take it? Where do you think? Do you look ahead 5 years? Do you look ahead 10 years? Where do you want to take this journey you're about to go on?
That's such a good question because that's something we're constantly asking ourselves. And I mean, we've grown by leaps and bounds, and we've gone in different directions. Our website is really, which is Bite Me More, is really a hub where we're constantly putting new and exciting things. And we do a lot of videos, so we're doing a video every week now. And we love doing that, not Lisa quite as much as I do, because I love to harass her on film. But I think down the road, you know, that, like you said, we have volumes, more books in us. We love growing the Bite Me More community. We love interacting with them. We love traveling. We love food. We love television. You know, it's all there.
And we love what we do.
We do. We laugh every day, and that's pretty lucky.
Will they all be the size of the Barry phone book?
Yeah, you could use this one. You know, I'm using it to help my triceps at the moment while we're talking.
I held the door. I opened the door with it.
Yeah, it's pretty big. Yeah, hopefully. We actually had to cut stuff out because it was too long.
I know. It was sad. It was hard.
We've got lots to say.
Okay. Yes, you do. Page 75. I said I wouldn't do this, but I made this note here. The Baja Fish Taco. Okay, I'm good with that right there.
I love that.
I mean, come on. You can't. It's almost impossible to duplicate a Baja Fish Taco because they have ingredients down there and there's just something going on. But what's the key to recreating that at home?
Well, she turned it into a salad.
Yeah.
Which makes it even better.
Yeah, it keeps it really fresh. And
Excuse me. Is this the Lisa Can't Ride a Bike salad?
Yes.
No, that's the bean.
Bean.
Lisa, in general, tuna bean. Can't ride a bike.
She can't. It's embarrassing.
Still?
Mm-hmm.
Mm, okay. You couldn't ride over to your sister's house?
No.
Oof. Oh, God, no.
No, she'd be wobbling.
I would sooner run, and I'd get there in one piece. Baja fish taco salad.
Yep.
Back to that, so we can get away from my biking.
so humiliated.
Honestly, with this salad, you can, if you don't want it as a salad, you can certainly turn it into, you know, anything you want. You can turn it into wraps and whatever you like, but it has a great chipotle dressing that goes on top of it, and that's really the highlight for me. Besides the fresh fish part of it, but
yeah, and I like that it's not, you know, we, like I said before, dessert is dessert for us. We enjoy dessert, we love it, but we try not to deep fry things too much. So whereas you'd normally, your Baja fish taco would be deep fried and battered, this is not. So you get the flavors without too much of the fat, so you have room for the chocolate cake.
Yeah, we're all about dessert too.
Yeah, you are. Well, okay. Okay, now, in your fridge currently, mm-hmm. What am I going to find in terms of bottles of wine? Julie?
Bottles of wine? I have a Stratus right now.
Nice. A Shard?
Fridge. Yes.
Excellent.
I love it.
Lisa?
Julie, what did you just buy me?
Oh.
Because it's in my fridge, and it's so good. What was that?
Yeah, it was for her husband's. When she says, what did you buy me? We actually bought for her husband's birthday 12 bottles.
Yes.
And
and
she's
now
been drinking there for her.
And are you big supporters of the Ontario wine industry? Do you drink a lot of Ontario wines?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We, you know, if it's delicious, we'll drink it.
Of course you will. If somebody brings a dozen wine into your kitchen, you're going to have it.
Yeah, like, you. I mean, I don't want to be rude and not drink it.
No, you would never want to be rude, Lisa.
I would not.
It's about social skills.
I know.
Okay. Thank you for this. We look forward to the video thing. So we need some websites so people can find you beyond this interview. So,
you can find more than you wanted on bitememore.com. More than you bargained for.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Are you coming out this way? Any food shows? Any tours? Any?
We were out there for the Lick Your Plate tour in the spring, but we will come if you invite us. It's sort of like if you build it, they will come. If you invite us, we will come.
Okay.
Yeah, you might be sorry, but we will come.
Is there a kosher cookbook coming?
No.
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 We're a little lapsed in, I mean, we love our Jewish roots, but yep. We also really, I'm not going to say we, because Lisa doesn't love bacon, but I enjoy a good dose of
bacon. Bacon.
Okay.
Or like milk and meat mixed together, like a meat lasagna, or Lisa's Parmesan crusted everything, so
okay.
Makes it difficult to adhere to those
dietary
rules.
I'm leaving this interview with, I'm so impressed that you picked that out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Was it Steve Anthony?
No.
Was it?
No, absolutely not.
Christopher Ward.
No.
Master T.
No.
Hmm.
Christopher Ward. That's a good name too. I haven't heard much of him.
Oh, he's writing a book on Much Music. It's coming out this fall,
Is it going to be scandalous?
I don't know. He won't tell me. And it's going to be followed by a book on Much Music by Denise Donlan, who ran the building. So between the two books, we'll find. All of the secrets will be revealed. And now John Bon Jovi's in the restaurant business. Mike, what's happening to our world?
Everybody loves food.
He runs an amazing thing, which is the kind of pay what you can model in Jersey.
Mm. Thank you for your time, and thank you for your book. I appreciate this. I'll see you down the road somewhere. Thank you.
Yeah,
okay,
thank you so much.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye. The book is called Lick Your Plate. It's the third by Julie Albert, who does the writing and the look of the book, and her sister and best friend, Lisa Gannat, who develops food and the recipes. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards, an award-winning, family-owned and operated winery committed to handcrafting wines of distinction in Vancouver Island's Cowichan Valley. You can find them online at unsworthvineyards.com.
People call me the space cowboy, yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice, 'cause I speak of the pompatus of love. People talk about me, baby. Say I'm doing you wrong, doing you wrong. Well, don't you worry, no, baby, no, don't worry. 'Cause I'm right here, right here, right here, right here at home. 'Cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I get my lovin' on the run. Ooh. Ooh. I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, I'm a sinner. Play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. Sure don't want to hurt no one. Don't you worry, don't worry, no, don't worry.
'cause I'm right here, right here, right here, right here at home. You're the cutest thing I ever did see. Really love your beaches, wanna shake your tree. Lovey-dovey, lovey-dovey, lovey-dovey all the time. Come on, baby, and I'll show you a good time. 'Cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I give my love and all the run. I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner.